This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk. My guest is Richard Munson, author of several books. His newest title is Tesla, Inventor of the Modern. Welcome to our program.
Thanks for having me.
Along with writing books, your specialty is the field of clean energy?
It is.
Including work at the Environmental Defense Fund.
Well, I guess how they relate is that I must admit it was a pleasant surprise as I started researching Nikola Tesla to find that he was a clean energy pioneer. I really had no idea, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I knew that he was the inventor of the electric motor, and I knew that people like Larry Page, the co-founder of Google, thought he was a hero. But from my day job to find out that as early as 1900, he was writing articles, perhaps some of the earliest detailed schematics as to how to capture power from the sun and the wind.
Perfect reason to do it, even though you didn't.
It allowed a mixture of both my day job and my weekend activity.
At first, I thought your title, Tesla Inventor of the Modern, was missing a word, as in modern what?
What?
But it suits him, doesn't it?
I think so, because what he invented was an array of devices or systems, to be quite honest, that form the very foundation of our economy. You know, he had the electric motor, long-distance electricity transmission, radio, robots, remote control, all of these things underpin our economy. So, you know, without him, according to the American Institute of Electrical Engineers, our factories would close, our cities would go dark. So he really did give us our modern economy.
How many patents did he have?
A little over 300. And more importantly, he came up with ideas as well as schematics that were never realized but inspired great minds for the next several decades. You know, he thought of cell phones, radar, you know, artificial intelligence, vertical lift aircraft. The list sort of goes on and on.
I love that story you tell about the cell phone.
Oh, my goodness. 100 years ago, he was talking about something that would fit in your shirt pocket, that would be able to obtain news from around the world, allow you to hear music, allow you to talk to somebody as though they were right next to you. The list goes on, even with radar. 100 years ago, he had a design for sending out messages and receiving their echoes or their reflections on a fluorescent screen. And the person who actually is credited with inventing radar about 20 years after that said that he did it only because he followed the examples of Nikola Tesla. And that if, in fact, Tesla was dreaming at the time, at least he was dreaming correctly.
When I first saw the name of your book, my first thought was, oh, somebody's written a biography about the car? You know, and then, yep. Oh.
This is about the man, not the car.
Of course.
And it is odd, because he is not as well known as Edison or Marconi. I wish I knew, to be quite honest. My theory is that what he invented were systems, things that sort of underpin our economy that consumers don't really notice. An electric motor, I mean, you don't really have a sense that it's inside your refrigerator or it runs the elevator or your computer. What Edison did, he gave us products, phonograph, an incandescent light bulb. Those are things that people could sort of see and touch. Tesla's, you know, inventions, I guess, were more fundamental. And I guess, as a result, not as observable to the average consumer.
I wondered if maybe he didn't have as good PR as Edison.
Well, Edison certainly was a better businessman than Tesla was, and that was one of Tesla's downfalls. He was unbelievably great inventor, but a horrible businessman, and therefore did not leave his name on a company that continued on into existence, as we have numerous Edison companies that provide our electricity
Edison
today.
Edison Power and Light, I'm
yeah,
sure.
The yeah. list goes on. So, yes, he was not as good of a businessman, didn't leave his, you know, legacy. But, again, the inventions that he gave us sort of underpin our very, you know, modern devices.
Tesla was an immigrant moving to the U.S. from Serbia.
Yep.
In Eastern Europe.
Mm-hmm.
What brought him?
Thomas Edison, to be quite honest. His first job was actually installing Edison telephone systems in Budapest and Paris. And his supervisor recognized that he was just this really bright young man, and so wrote probably the greatest letter of recommendation you've ever heard. So he sent this letter to Thomas Edison. He said, I know of two great men. You are one of them, and the other is this young man. So Edison, of course, hires him, and he does great work, but the two of them are just so totally different. I mean, Edison, to be quite honest, is a little frumpy and a little crass. Tesla, in comparison, spoke 8 languages fluently. He was cosmopolitan. He, you know, wrote poetry, and he dressed every day like he was going to the opera. So the two of them are just, you know, this thing in contrast, and their approaches to science were also different. Edison thought that electricity should remain a luxury item and be transmitted by something called direct current, which couldn't go very far. Tesla, in comparison, thought, we need to send this out to everybody because it will improve their lives. And so he advanced something called alternating current that was more, if you will, forceful and powerful and could be sent longer distances.
And that wonderful example of powering up the falls and
Niagara Falls, yes.
Yeah.
It's an amazing story because both he, Tesla, and Westinghouse won the war of the currents here as to which was the better technology. And Edison's approach with direct current could only send power like maybe a half a mile. And they sent power from Niagara Falls, first 26 miles to Buffalo, and then 400 miles to New York City. Powered the new subways, lit up, you know, Broadway. It was a remarkable achievement. The New York Times called it the greatest technical achievement of the 19th century. And they credited Tesla was the one who, you know, brought us that.
It was about 1890s?
About 1895.
He lived a long life, 87, right?
He did live a long time.
Did he work all the way to the end?
He kept thinking all the way to the end. In fact, in his 60s and 70s, every year on his birthday, he would invite in reporters. And we're talking like the New York Times, the New York Herald, I mean, top-level reporters. And there were like 40, 50 of them that would come and sit for like 6 hours listening to the great man come up with ideas. You know, a fair number of them were crazy. I mean, one year he decided that the key thing was to give his advice as to how to keep your mental health, and that was to squeeze your toes 100 times each night before you went to bed. All right, that's nice. He also, however, on some of these occasions, you know, outlined what he thought was a death beam that could destroy battleships or airplanes or wipe out whole armies. So when he died in 1943, you can imagine that the U.S. government was not really wild about ensuring that his, you know, schematics for a death beam were made available to any of our possible enemies. So the FBI gathered all of his papers and then hired a professor from MIT who was the distinguished, you know, recipient of the National Academy of Sciences Award, ran the big unit there. And he came down for 6 days while the FBI and Naval Intelligence watched him and concluded that one paper that Tesla had written late in life was very clear on basically a Star Wars, you know, campaign. So he slapped a top secret rating on it. The rest of it, he says, was basically, you know, sort of the ramblings of an older man and nothing all that important.
What happened to the schematic?
It's still top secret. We don't know.
Your epilogue is entitled Boldness of Ignorance. What does that mean?
I think he viewed inventing as a mixture of both a love of the humanities and a love of science, and that you needed, if you were to invent well, you needed to look at nature from a variety of different perspectives, and you needed to do it with a fresh mind. So ignorance to him was actually a good thing because it sort of opened his mind to what possibilities were out there. I should point out this mixture of the humanities and science is a critical theme that goes throughout Tesla's life because he invented his revolutionary electric motor while walking through a Budapest park, quoting the lengthy poem from Goethe of Faust. And then when he had this vision, he quickly picked up a stick and drew the design for this revolutionary new motor. I would think that today he would be a bit concerned about the fact that we're missing that sort of mixture, if you will, of humanities and science. For Tesla, I think that would be a disaster because it would retard inventing, retard the ability to come up with disruptive new technologies.
What do you hope readers get from your book about Tesla?
I hope that they'll gained some appreciation for this individual that I don't think has been as recognized as he should be. And he needs to, I think, hopefully people will applaud him and know that there was, in fact, a man behind the car.
Well, thank you. My guest is Richard Munson, author of Tesla, Inventor of the Modern, published by W.W. Norton. This is Diana Cordy with Book Talk.